Please recite one surah to Fatiha for the following Marhumeen, Humayun Ali Beg, Bashirun Nisa Begum, and Najmun Nisa Begum. الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم إنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فحل بالسخاء والورع فهما حلية الإيمان صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The most significant aspect of the personality of our beloved messenger and likewise the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu wassalam is their morality and their character. Prophet himself was askhan nas, the most sakhi person among all the rest, and it has been narrated in the history about him that لم يثبت عنده درهم ولا دينار. No dirham or dinar could stay in his hand. He never used to keep any dirham or dinar. وإن فضل لَمْ يَأْوِ إِلَىٰ مَنْزِلِهِ. And if some dirhams or dinars remained with him, he would not return back to his house. Unless he gives away those dirhams and dinars to the mustahab and deserving people, he would never return back to his house. Can you imagine why we call him askhan nas, the most sakhi person among the rest? He would never even return to his home unless he gives away this money, and then he comes back empty-handed. Dirhams were of silver coins, dinars were gold coins, 10 dirhams equal to 1 dinar, and all what they have more than their necessities was basically given away to others. And so many times something that belonged to their own necessity of life was also given away. And sakhawat has been called as a sifat which is found in all the anbiya. And all the people who belong to the paradise. Because al-jannatu, the hadith says, al-jannatu darul askhiya. Paradise is the home, is the house of all the generous people. So the house of the generous people. So everyone who belongs to the paradise, everyone who would go into the paradise, actually has to be a generous person. Nothing but a generous person. None but a generous person can be there. And wa huwa imadul iman. Sahawat is the pillar of iman. Our urafa and ahlul ma'na say that the money that we give away for the sake of Allah actually never gets decreased. This is maybe the reason which stops us from giving away and doing infaq fi sabilillah, because we think our money gets decreased. Isn't that the major reason? Our urafa say when we give away money for the sake of Allah, it never gets decreased. And the example they bring is that of a fountain of water. Just imagine a fountain of water which is outbursting from the soil, from the land. No matter how much water you take out in a bowl, the water is always replaced, because there is a constant running fountain. Can you find any decrease in the water of the fountain? Regardless of how much water you are taking out, it's always replaced, constantly replaced. See what Quran says about infaq. وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ. Whatever you give away, from the khair, Allah replaces it. You need to have iman and yaqeen in ikhlas. And Allah always replaces what we give. Even in this dunya. Not just in that dunya. Even in this dunya. It's unfair to that some people, when they talk about the Islamic teachings, they only restrict the teachings about the rewards that we are going to get there. We get the rewards of our Islamic good behavior, right, in this world as well, in addition to the hereafter. So it's not just, rewards are not just restricted there. Islam is a practical religion with everyday applications to our day-to-day issues, and right now, right here, we get the rewards, we get partial rewards of our amal in this dunya. Full rewards can never be given in this dunya because of the limitation of the nature of this world itself. Likewise, the full punishments can never be given in this dunya because of the nature and restrictions of the world itself. So, but we do believe in mukafatul amal and the rewards of our amal being given. So, even in this dunya, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing so much. If we do the infaq, we need to have yaqeen. But what would we do when yaqeen itself is the least found ni'mat of Allah? If somebody asks you which ni'mat of Allah is least found in the community, the answer is yaqeen. Again, coming to the same point that I frequently repeat in my speeches, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not bakhil and miser. Why we find a ni'mat or some ni'mats of Allah are not available in my spirituality, it's not because Allah was not ready to give it to me, but He was ready to give it to someone else. Allah is not a miser. Allah does not discriminate unfairly. It's because I did not deserve to get that ni'mat. I should make myself deserving and a good recipient an increase in my reception and receiving power and capability, and I would find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving away to me as well. Because He is not a miser, He is giving away, and all those who deserve are constantly receiving those ni'mats of Allah. So why we find yaqeen is and considered to be the least found ni'mat among all the blessings of God? Yaqeen is one of the ma'navi blessings of Allah. Didn't we talk about that the blessings of Allah are categorized into two categories, maddi, material, and non-maddi, non-material and metaphysical, ma'navi blessings, which are way more than, higher than the material blessing. No comparison at all. So yaqeen is one of those ma'navi blessings of Allah which is least found, because the people themselves are least amount of people are capable to receive this blessing. Not that Allah is a miser and He's not ready to give. Even among anbiya, because yaqeen itself has darajat, and not every nabi had the same level of yaqeen. So when somebody says to the Prophet that kana Isa alayhi salam yamshi alal ma, Isa alayhi salam used to walk over water, our holy Prophet replied back that law zada yaqeenan la masha alal hawa. If he had more yaqeen, he would have been walking over air, because Prophet can walk over the air as well. Didn't he go towards the Mi'raj? And we consider the Mi'raj not maybe happening just once in the lifetime of Rasulullah, which is false. In the hadith of Imam Sadiq al-Islam, we find that Mi'raj happened more than 100 times. We don't know. What we know is just part of what happens and what exists. But Imam Sadiq al-Islam said that in every time, you know, that Mi'raj happened, when Prophet went there and had a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah discussed the subject of walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the rest of the Imams. Every time in Mi'raj. Because this is the most important subject of Islam. This is the essence of entire amal, entire belief of Tawheed, starting from Tawheed and all the Islamic belief system and all the furu' deen and branches of the religion. Nothing is accepted without walayat of Ahlul Bayt. That's the biggest wajib of Islam. And we find that the Prophet has said that this hulla fa hulla, yeah, means that means decorate yourself with sahawat and wara, because these two fahuma hulyatul iman, these two things are the beauty of iman. If we want to have our iman decorated, the beauty of our iman and the decoration that the iman requires to receive is through the sahabat and through wara, that means abstaining from this dunya. This is how our iman can be decorated and made to look beautiful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ghattu ma'aibakum bis-saha fa innahu satrul uyub. Such beautiful teachings of Islam. Cover up your sins, your shortfalls through sahawat. Because this is satrul ghuyub. That's how you can cover up your sins. We all have sins, we all have faults. I have thousands of sins and faults. If one of my faults is known to the community, I can challenge that some people may even stop saying salam to me. If one of my faults only is known to the community, that's how we humans are so such sinners. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. Despite the fact that He knows everything before the thing happens, He knew everything before He created anything, He knew everything before even he created. What to talk of before doing, before our creation. He knew what we are going to do after our creation. But he's still covering up. Isn't this a matter for us as Aqil people and Mu'min people to remember and try to emulate and adopt this sifat of Allah in our soul, that we become the madhar of Sattarul Uyub? As soon as we get to know the ab, the fault, the shortcoming of a person, the first thing we should do, hide it from everyone and go and inform that person in loneliness, advise him in loneliness, so that he can remove this aib and this fault and this naqs in a very respectable way. This is what Islam teaches us. Instead of going and tell, first thing some people do, you go and tell to our wives. As soon as we get to know about the fault of a person, the first thing we go and share it in our house. Do you think telling to your wife is not ghibat? Is the wife exempt from ghibat? The first thing we should do is to cover up and zip up our mouth as if we have not seen it and try to forget it. And when you meet that moment, advise him in a respectable way in loneliness. Not in open gathering. Man nasaha akhahu sirran faqad zalahu. Prophet said, whosoever does nasihat to his brother hiddenly, he has provided zenith to his brother. You gave zenith to him, you made him look good. وَمَنْ نَصَحَ أَخَاهُ عَلَى نِيَّةً. And whosoever advises his mu'min brother openly in front of the others, فَقَدْ شَانَهُ. He has insulted his brother. That's not the way of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. As soon as we find something, we talk about that person openly in the gathering. No. Unless some person is the one who is an enemy and harmful towards the walayat of the 12 Imams. There is zero tolerance law of Allah towards the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the 12 Imams. That is something else. Walayat of the 12 Imams is above, there is no compromise on that. Anybody who messes up with the walayat of the 12 Masoom Imams, there is zero tolerance about him. But if somebody has his personal faults, somebody has a trouble with me, somebody is my enemy, I am not a Masoom. I don't have the right to talk about against my personal enemies or somebody who has a personal level of fault, no relation to the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. I don't have the right to talk about him openly. And the least I should remember is that if I opt to do so, the same is going to happen to me. Because irham turham. You do rahm and mercy, and rahm and mercy will be done on you. Irham man fil ard, yarhamuka man fis sama. You have rahm and mercy on those who belong to earth, and those who belong to heaven will have mercy on you. Don't we want to have Allah's mercy coming in our way to get our sins and faults hidden and forgiven? Like I said, if one of my sins is known to the community, maybe people stop saying salam on me. Look at the mercy of Allah. Isn't that limitless? And isn't the mercy of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, who is the mazhar and perfect, most perfect reflection of every name and every attribute of Allah, and through him every blessing is being distributed to the whole universe. So even the Imam of our time, who is the mazhar of ilmul ghaib of Allah, mazhar of all the asma and names of Allah, he also knows everything before the things happen. But he is still hiding our sins. And that's why he is the most perfect reflection of Allah. Because he is doing everything exactly how Allah is doing and Allah likes to be done. And about whom Allah likes it to be done. And he's not doing certain things about whom Allah doesn't like things to be done about them. This is also important. Because sometimes we mess up, we try to be very sincere and very good and very courteous towards those about whom Allah doesn't want us to be courteous. Applying the right ruling against the wrong people and applying the wrong ruling about the right people. That's also one of the practices found in some communities, you know. Because Allah says, Muhammadur Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Muhammad, you know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is the messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, those who are with him, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ, they are strict against the kuffar. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, they are merciful among themselves, towards each other, they are merciful. Some of the Muslims in our communities are merciful about kuffar, but when it comes to their own fellow mu'min brothers, they are strict. So the result of this behavior and policy is very obvious, because those who are with Rasulullah, they have those qualities. If you know, if you are applying those qualities in the opposite way, you are courteous towards the kuffar, trying to, you know, try to do every effort to justify the evil of the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. But when it comes to even the slightest, smallest fault of a mu'min, you are not ready to tolerate. You burst up. So this proves that we are not ma'a Rasulullah. We are not along with Rasulullah. If we were along with him and in his group, in his party, we would behave like that. This is because of our lack of i'tidal in our behaviors. Lack of ilm. Because i'tidal comes out of ilm. If we don't have ilm, we can never be adil. Anybody who is a jahil can never be adil. Because jahil is something that will lead us, لَا تَرَى الْجَاهِلَ إِلَّا مُفْرِطًا أَوْ مُفَرِّطًا. How Amir Mumin says, you will never find a jahil except either he is doing tafreet or ifrat. One of those two extremes. None of those two extremes is i'tidal and the mediocre path of justice of Islam. So jahil can never be adil. Isn't that the case? If we want to be adil, which we all love to be, we have to be alim about our duties. The minimum alim that we mean with that word, the minimum level of knowledge that we should know all the do's and do nots, so that we can abide, do our duties. So what I was saying is that Prophet has said, Ghattu ma'aibakum. Today we are talking and celebrating, commemorating the shahadat of the Prophet as well. So Prophet said, Ghattu ma'aibakum. Hide your ma'aib, your uyub, your faults, with sahawat. We all have faults and sins. One of the most effective ways in Islam to cover up our sins is that we start adopting this sifat and attribute in our soul as a constant charisma, and which is achieved by consistently doing this thing over and over again without stopping. That's how we will make it a constant charisma and salahiyat of ours and malaka nafsaniyya of our soul. And when this happens, Allah is going to cover up our sins. If a person is sahi, even his uyub will be guaranteed. It's a guarantee that his uyub will be covered and hidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everyone who has a lot of sins, the prescription that ilmul akhlaq, this, you know, provides for him is that صَدَقَةُ السِّرْ تُطْفِي غَضَبَ الرَّبْ. What a great prescription. If we could just remember this prescription, we will never be, you know, ending up in traumas and problems. Because Prophet has said that صَدَقَةُ السِّرْ, giving a sadaqah hiddenly, tutfi ghadab ar-rabb, it calms down the wrath of Allah.
Allah.
Whenever we have a lot of sins piling up, we should find the cure towards these sins by giving sadaqah in a way that no one on earth other than Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and Allah knows about our sadaqah. not even our wives and children, not even our friends. Give the sadaqah in a way that the person who is receiving the sadaqah from you, he also doesn't know that you are the one who is the owner of this sadaqah. If you can give a sadaqah in that way, Allah is going to, you know, His anger and wrath and ghazab is going to calm down against you. Not like this, that we give 500 bucks and we want our name to be recognized and announced over the microphone in front of the whole community, or maybe written on a plaque outside the mosque forever. That we, this and such moment has donated this amount. 20 years ago you sponsored your brother to come to the United States, and it's now 20 years passing by, this guy is constantly mentioning, Maulana, I'm the one who sponsored my brother. How long you want to mention your good deeds in front of the people? You want to lose the entire sawab and reward of any good deed that you may have done in your life? What is this kind of understanding of Islam? What kind of resemblance are we making between our souls and the souls of Ahlul Bayt? They are saying, give the sadaqah hiddenly. Majority of the sadaqat, a major portion, a significant portion of the sadaqat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt were hidden. No one knew about their sadaqat. And this covers up our sins. If we all would love to our sins to be remain hidden, and not to search about the sins of others, because some people are always, you know, khoj laga rahe, suraakh mein baithe hain, searching about the fala sahab ne gaadi nahi khareedi hai, kahan se paisa aaya, unka koi insurance ka paisa mila hai kya, oh bhai aapse kya taluq hai, kisi ne paisa kahan se kamaya, aapko kya padi hai ki aap khoj lagaye. Did Islam allow you, give you a license to keep on searching about affairs of other people's lives? What to talk of, you know, searching about the uyub of other people, which is strictly condemned. If this kind of person who searches about the uyub and faults of others, he will be insulted by Allah, even though he may be hiding in the innermost room of his house. Allah will insult him. And if we have sakhawat in our morality, in our soul, Allah is going to cover up our sins. That's another blank check given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is another blank check. If you love your faults to be hidden by Allah, to remain hidden, you do as much sakhawat as you want. And you will find Allah's mercy coming in your way. You know, Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayyat, rahmatullah alayhi, that great personality in Iran, that mu'min who passed away not so long ago, maybe about 40, 50 years, I don't remember exactly when did he pass away, this great mu'min, you know, he, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam did some miracle towards him, and he became the hafiz of the entire Quran. And not just that, but he used to look at the whole Quran in the form of Noor. And you know, people used to bring Quran to verify the Khattat, those people who used to write down the Quran, they used to bring it for verification, because he was the one who became hafiz of the Holy Quran because of the miracle of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So he knows the Quran in the best way. And he used to see them in the form of Noor. If there is a book sitting there and which has one ayat of Quran, Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat rahmatullah alayh used to see from far away, used to see that line of the book in the form of Noor. That was the impact of the miracle of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. These people never used to eat haram in their lives. There was no haram in their lives. One of the barakat of eating halal food, you know, I go to different cities, people come up and say, Maulana, please talk about, you know, paying back the loans. In one of the cities, a person said to me that in the same city, we have Mu'mins who pray, they fast, they come to the masjid every day, but it's now so many years we are begging them to pay our money back, they don't pay. You think your prayers and fasting is going to benefit you? Can we mess up with the duties of Allah and the priority list of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Somebody came to Imam Qasim alayhi salam and said that I would like to go for Hajj, but I have a loan on my neck. I have to pay to some mu'min. I have to pay to somebody. Imam Qasim alayhi salam said, go and pay to him. Instead, that means instead of going for Hajj, go and pay your loan back to him. What kind of Hajj is this? You are displeasing your fellow mu'min brother and you want to go and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this behavior? You think Allah is going to accept this kind of Hajj? Let's not waste our life. Let's not waste our prayers and fasting and all that. So, this Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat, you know, there was a person who was not so good in the community. And everybody knew about him. But all of a sudden, the people saw Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat, he stood up and he went along close to that person. He was starting doing, you know, matam and next to that person. He went and stood close to him. And after all the matam and all that ended, somebody asked him that, why did you stood up and went next to him? Although he was not known to be a good person in the community, you know, apparently. So why did you go and stand next to him? He said, because I saw Imam Hussain alayhi salam, Sayyidul Shuhada, he came and he was standing there. So I also went and stood next to him. You know, these people have no hijabah, they see the realities. So my teacher was saying one of the reasons why some people are helped by the Ahlul Bayt is because of Sakhawat. If you have this attribute in your soul that you are always ready to help a fellow mu'min in the time of need, no matter what your sin is, they are ready to keep on helping you. You will keep on receiving help from Ghaib. Because Allah loves Sakhawat so much. Once we find that, you know, when the daughter of Hatam Ta'i was brought in front of Rasulullah as a captive after the war, and she started talking to Rasulullah about, you know, her story, and in that conversation she said to Rasulullah that my father was such and such and such person, and he was sahi, he never used to refuse anybody who came to him for help. When she said this remark, Prophet replied, خَلُّ عَنْهَا فَإِنَّ أَبَاهَا كَانَ مِنْ مَنْ يُحِبُّ مَكَارِمًا كَانَ يُحِبُّ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. That was the Mazmoon al-Riwayah. So that means set her free. Because her father was among those who used to love مَكَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. That means the high attributes of Islamic morality. As soon as Prophet discovered that this person's father was Sakhi, Prophet is ready to set free this woman who is an asir and captive in the hands of Islamic army. Can you imagine? She was not Sakhi. Her father was Sakhi. Now you understand what our Urafa say, how much Allah loves the sifat of Sakhawat. Bunch of kuffar came to see the Rasulullah, and one of those kuffar started insulting Rasulullah. Talking abusive language to Rasulullah. Insultive language, I mean. Prophet had his color of his face changing. Allah sent Jibreel with the revelation and informed the Rasul that this guy who is insulting you is Sahih. The riwayat says, as soon as Prophet heard that remark from Jibreel, his anger calmed down. And Prophet said to him, if Allah did not inform me about you that you are Sakhi, I would have said something that you would remember, for it would become a lesson for everyone, you know. But since you are Sakhi, I'm not ready to say that. And he said, if your Lord loves Sakhawat, he said, yes, my Lord loves Sakhawat. He said, okay, then let me, then teach me your religion so that I want to become a Muslim, because in my life I never rejected a person who comes for help to me. How much sahawat is beloved in the, how much it covers our sins. Even about Samiri, that mushrik person in the time of Hazrat Musa, who deceived the Banu Israel into worshipping that calf. When Hazrat Musa came back and he was really mad and upset about the behavior of Samiri, Hazrat Musa was, he wanted to kill Samiri. But Allah sent wahi on Hazrat Musa, Samiri is a sakhi person. And Hazrat Musa did not kill Samiri. Can you imagine the importance of sakhawat in Islam? Samiri was not killed. غَطُّ مَعَيْبَكُمْ بِالصَّخَىٰ. We need to change our morality and behavior when we come to the madhis of Imam Hussain al-Islam, to this greatest, one of the greatest opportunities in our life for our communities, brothers and sisters. This kind of opportunity is unavailable for so many sects of Islam. They don't have this ma'navi ni'mat of Allah, of Hussain ibn Ali, this ni'mat of the gham and sorrow of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which the angels of Allah love to come and participate in the madlis of Imam Hussain. Which when the angels of Allah come and participate and they return back to heaven, the hadith says there is a special smell, good smell coming from the angels, and the angels of heaven ask these angels who are returning back from this earth, why, how can we find this smell from you? And they reply, we were participating in the madlis of Imam Hussain on earth.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So, the angels of the sky, they say, okay, then we should also go to the madlis and participate there. They say, no need for going there, because the madlis of Imam Hussain has already ended. And the angels of the heaven reply back, they still go to the earth. And what they do, even after the madlis has ended, they rub their wings on the places where the mu'mineen have been sitting for the madlis, and they return back and they also get the similar kind of smell coming from there, from them. People don't have this opportunity. You need to benefit from the noor of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْجَنَّةَ مِن نُورِ الْحُسَيْنِ. Allah created the paradise from the noor of Hussain. Paradise was created from the noor of Hussain ibn Ali. Isn't that the blessed, great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us this opportunity to come and benefit and talk and remember and discuss about Imam Hussain and his personality and his fada'il and his teachings and his masail. Our scholars say Imam Hussain, even after his shahadat, is the most perfect mazhar of Allah and mazhar of Ya Muqallib al-Qulub wal-Absar. There are so many people who come to the madhis of Imam Hussain, and one word, one sentence, one statement, one teaching of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt converts them forever because of the barakat of this majlis. That's why we come here for, to learn from the noor of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt. That's the reason for coming here. It's not a ritual, it's a worship of Allah. If we consider it to be a ritual, it's no longer a worship. We consider it to be a worship of God. It's an ibadat of Allah. You know, somebody asked, somebody wrote a book about Habib ibn Mudahir. Somebody saw Habib ibn Mudahir in his dream and asked him, of course he was there in his palace, in the paradise, close to Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And somebody asked him, do you have a wish now that you are already reached, you know, that high level in the paradise? Do you still have a wish in your heart? Yes, he said, my wish is that may I come to the earth again and participate in the majlis of Imam Hussain and shed tears on Sayyidul Shuhada. It's not an ordinary thing. It's something which Allah loves. And Sahawat is one of those attributes which the Ahlul Bayt love. Love very much. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that Shabun Mur Sakhiyun Murhiqun Bidhunub Ahabbu ilallah min Shaykhin Abidin Bakhil. Shabun Sakhiyun, a young boy, a young person who is Sakhi Murhiqun Bidhunub and he is drowned in sins, is more beloved in the eyes of Allah min shaykhin abidin bakhil, from an elderly person who is abid, he performs the ibadat of Allah but he is bakhil. Can you imagine the priority list of Allah which I am constantly emphasizing? We need to adjust our priority list with that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even our sins will be forgiven if we have sakhawat. Ahle Bayt humari dasgiri karte hain, hume gumraah nahi hone dete. Agar sakhawat ki sifat ko humne haath se jaane na diya ho, hum tayyar ho ke hamesha apne momino ki madad karne ke liye tayyar ho. Ye sifat haath se na jaane de, kitne hi gunahon mein bhi insaan gharq ho jaye, wo humari dasgiri karenge. This is one of the most important things in their eyes. And we find that one of the great scholars, one of the very great scholars of ours, his mother, how he trained him, whenever this son, this young boy, used to go out, his mom used to give him one, currency note of that area, one currency note, like $1. Whenever this boy used to go out, the mom gives $1. Give it to the first faqir that you meet on the street. If we find a faqir who is mu'min and he's begging and we still not give, it makes our qalb, our soul, our heart becoming qasi and stiff and stone-hearted. Gradually. Because asawat also has several levels. If we just let it go and we ignore it, that means we were ready to tolerate that much qasawat of qalb, that much, it takes a level of qasawat to ignore the need of a moment where we let it go and turn our blind eye to his need and consider our needs and our wishes to be more important than the need of a moment. Isn't that a qasawat? So that's how his mom used to train this scholar from his childhood. Every day she used to give her one note, currency note. First faqir that you see on your street, give it to him. Don't let the faqir go. Don't let any mu'min faqir go away from you. Especially in the hadith, we have that a man who comes to beg in the night of Shabi Jummah, the night before Friday, any beggar, any male beggar who comes to your doorstep in the night before Friday, never reject him. It has been there. Never reject him. Especially on Thursday night, and even on the day of Friday, it's very important to give sadaqah and charity and do sahabat, and we should make it our responsibility that we should give something, as if it's our responsibility that we should give. So this scholar, he turned out to be one of the biggest askhiya of his time. Never rejected people. Never. One of those sifat with which the Ahlul Bayt keep on helping us with their hidden help, hidden means of helping, is that if we have sakhawat. That's how the mother is training the son from the childhood, and son became one of the great askhiya of his time. And This is how we find that our Ahlul Bayt salam used to do throughout their lives. Imam Ali salam standing, he found in his lifetime he found a woman, you know, and he, you know, who was going to her home. Imam Ali helped that woman and took that load with her into her house, and then that woman started complaining against Imam Ali alayhi salam. She didn't know that this is Imam Ali. Look at the behavior, look at how Imam Ali used to live such a simple life and dressing up, how he used to dress up, that he was never known from that behavior, that way that he is the ruler. He went inside, and then of course she had a baby, and she had to cook the food, she has to bake the bread. So Imam Ali distributed those things among, okay, Imam Ali is going to take care of the baking of the bread, and she is going to take care of the baby. And she was now talking against Imam Ali, talking, complaining that Ali ibn Abi Talib doesn't take care of us. She was the widow of one of the shuhada, who became shaheed in one of the battles with Imam Ali alayhi salam. She said, look at Ali ibn Abi Talib, he has forgotten us, doesn't take care of us. Although Imam Ali himself is the one who is taking care of us. It's impossible for the Imam of the time not to take care. But that's how some people are, so impatient and so much su'izan, which is one of the ways that leads to the hellfire. That's not the subject of our discussion to talk about su'izan, but this is also condemned in Islam. The same Imam Ali who is helping, and she's talking on the phone, you know, and on his face against him, but he's still tolerating. Till the time one of the ladies from the next door neighbors, she came suddenly into the house of this this lady, and she saw Imam Ali, and she knew, and she identified, and she started screaming, you are taking this job from the Imam of the time? This is Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And she became so embarrassed. But that was the simple behavior of our Imams. That's how they used to help. This is how they used to help. Imam Sadiq sent some money to a deserving person through the hand of one of his ashab and told him not to tell my name. And he went there and he gave the money from on behalf of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and that person also started complaining against, you know, may Allah never forgive Ja'far ibn Muhammad. He doesn't take care of us, you know, he's the Imam, doesn't take care of the poor people in his town. Look at the jasarat of some people. And the same, you know, help which has been sent is sent by Imam Salih alayhi salam. Can the Imam of the time forget us? But this all is about the akhlaq. The most important thing of your personality is not your prayers or fasting or hajj. The most important thing of your personality is your akhlaq and attitude and behavior towards each other. This is what determines our personality. That's the most important thing. Imam Rida alayhi salam's story, you must have heard that when somebody came and asked to Imam Rida was sitting with a bunch of his ashab, and the guy came and said, Ibn Rasulullah, I'm Ibn Sabeel. You know, I lost my money during my travel. I'm not a beggar. I have a lot of money back home, but right now, since I lost my money, I came to get some help from you. And if you can please help me, when I go back to my place, I will do the sadaqah, I will do tasadduq and infaq on behalf of you. As soon as Imam Rida heard that statement, he stood up, went inside his house, grabbed the bag of money and extended his hand from behind the wall or the door and called his name. That person, come and take this money and go away. The guy came, he grabbed the money, he went away. When he went away, then Imam Rida came out of his house. And the ashab were asking him, what was this way of giving away the money to a person? He said, because I didn't want to see the embarrassment on his face, because now that I am helping him, the person becomes embarrassed in front of you. I don't want to make a mu'min embarrassed in front of you. Sadaqatul sir. 70 times reward. The same $100 that you donate to whomsoever or whatsoever good purpose, the same $100 if you give in a way that no one on earth knows that it's your money, you made the reward like $700. Isn't that what we want? Or do we want a recognition from some people? What the people can give to us, they themselves are, you know, fuqara. Ya yuhannasu antumul fuqara'u ilallah wallahu huwal ghani. Oh, you the people, you are the fuqara. Every human is faqir before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who is ghani. What the people can give to us? It's again, it's an inappropriate behavior in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we consider anyone other than Allah to be ghani in the real sense. Salawat. So we find that a person came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and said, "Inni." إِنِّي أُحِبُّكَ فِي السِّرِّ كَمَا أُحِبُّكَ فِي الْعَلَانِيَةِ. I love you hiddenly the way I love you openly. Imam Ali alayhi salam was looking at the ground and after a while he said to the person, لَا أَرَى إِسْمَكَ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَلَا وَجْهَكَ مِنَ الْوُجُوهِ. I don't find your name in the name among the names, nor do I find your face among those faces. All the names, you know, all the names of the followers and Shias of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam till the Day of Judgment have been already told to the Imam of the time by Allah. He knows every single Shia and follower of his even before the birth of that person, till the Day of Judgment, all the names and all the faces. He said, I don't find your name among the names, nor do I find your face among the faces. And then, because every mu'min's face, the hadith says, it's written, maktubun bayna aynayhi mu'min aw kafir. On everybody's forehead, it is written, whether a person is mu'min or kafir. Again, one of those hidden realities and haqa'iq of the universe that we don't see because of the hijabat and curtains of sins that we have. There's so many things that we don't see. And this is among one of those so many. Every person's face, on the forehead it's written whether he's a mu'min or kafir. The imams can see right away. Then another person came to Imam Ali and he said the similar kind of statement that inni, أُحِبُّكَ فِي السِّرِّ كَمَا أُحِبُّكَ فِي الْعَلَانِيَةِ. I love you hiddenly the way I love you openly. And Imam Ali said that صدقت, you said the truth. His name was there among the names and his face was among the faces. And then Imam Ali said to him that get prepared for becoming faqir. Allah. The followers of Ahlul Bayt, all of them are faqir. Even Hazrat Khadija was faqir. Like I always say, even she made so much money, which is no problem in Islam to make millions or billions from halal, but she didn't spend on herself. Practically her personal life was just like a faqir. So every follower is really a faqir. And, and Prophet has said to Imam Ali already that you are pleased about the masakeen to be your followers and masakeen are pleased to consider you to be their imam. This is what Prophet had already said in his hadith to Imam Ali, that you are ravi about the masakeen to be your followers. That means your followers, all of them are masakeen. And the masakeen are also ravi and pleased to accept you as their imam. So that's already being told. All the followers of Imam Ali are masakeen and fuqara. How would we become miskeen when we are making thousands of millions because of sakhawat? Isn't that the case? no matter how much we earn from halal, we will use for our needs of life, all the rest belongs to the Ahlul Bayt and Islam and the Mu'mineen and the Ummah and community. So we will end up becoming a simple, leading a simple life personally. That's what faqr is all about. So Imam Ali said to him, Sadaqta, you said the truth. Get prepared for faqr, for poverty. Because I heard from Rasulullah saying, Al-faqru asra ila muhibbina min as-sail ila batnil wadi. Because I heard Rasulullah saying that faqr and poverty is faster to arrive towards our followers, faster than a storm, a water storm arriving towards the valley. How fast the water rushes towards the valley, because water flows from top to bottom, isn't that the case? The speed of water flowing towards a valley is slower than faqr and poverty coming in the way of our believers. If we have the true belief and we follow the true path of Ahlul Bayt, we will end up becoming faqir, which is a matter of pride for us. Prophet has said, Al-faqru fakhri. Faqr is my pride.